machine. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm well, I got my town. The radio is tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Yeah, Matt Bearden, CJ Morgan, that's me. Speaking about myself in the third person. We made it to Friday. Makes you a real celebrity to talk about yourself in the third person. That's the new thing to do.
Is it?
The last couple of days, we've started off the show, by the way, talking about my Halloween stressors.
Right. You've had a couple, I guess.
I've had a few.
Mainly it's just been decorating your own house, which is a weird thing for a grown-up to be stressed about.
And then having a storm completely ruin my decorations. Now I'm moving on to the next official Halloween stressor.
Can you talk okay?
Dude, I woke up literally anxious about this and annoyed because I got to find a costume to wear. And I know you're looking at me like an idiot.
Yeah, I am.
I got to do a costume. Every year I...
Why?
Half-ass a costume.
You're a grown up.
Or
you're
I have
costume.
To top my... But I'm going to a Halloween party with friends. And I got to...
So what?
I
show them what it looks like to be a grown up.
I might. But it's a constant stressful thing of I have to top myself from the year before, find a better costume or do better decorations. And now I don't know. I don't even want to dress up.
Wear what you're wearing
but
right
I
now.
Feel like
and
I have to.
When people say, what are you dressed as? Say, I'm a guy who's given up. I'm a guy who doesn't have fun anymore.
I got a better one. I'll just get a little hat and a bandana on my head and a white t-shirt. And I'll be like, who are you? And be like, I'm the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters because I got a puffy tum. No, it's...
I don't get that.
It's a constant thing, and you know me. I have a bin of costumes in my shed. I have medieval armor, swords. I have all this crap at the ready for me to go. It's just I'm that goofball that dresses up and does weird stuff throughout the year. So on Halloween, I get extra stressed that I have to do something extra.
Oh, you feel
special.
Like you have to go above and beyond.
I have to go above and beyond. I got to top everyone else. And I just can't do that. Plus, my fiance is kind of...
Isn't that exhausting to try to be the guy who's always on?
Dude, yeah. How long have you known me? Yes. It is exhausting. It takes it out of me. Plus, we have that Friday in, 2 weeks, we have the company Halloween thing.
I don't know what you're even... I literally don't know what you're talking about right now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You used to work a morning show and leave by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, we have a company... Halloween costume contest. And every year people are like, CJ, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And
give
I just,
up. It's, that's it's, what you should do next. It's just give up, throw in the towel. You don't have to be the class clown anymore, dude.
No?
Nah.
I can
join me. Just be a disappointment to everybody, your friends and your family. Just be a disappointment, dude.
Okay. So when you take the kids trick-or-treating, you don't dress up at all. You just...
I'm the dad.
Okay.
I want my kids to see...
Have the attention.
No, and I want them to see what an adult looks like later on in life. I don't necessarily want to raise my kids to be kids who grow up that are panicked, like, oh, I don't have the right costume this year. Like, Mr. You.
Yeah, your thumb is pointing directly at me. Does your wife dress up? Do either of y'all?
No, we're grown-ups, CJ.
Okay.
We're grown-ups.
Answered my question. I won't stress. No, I'm going to stress about it.
I've been to a couple of parties over the year, and I literally will just find a $3 wig at HEB or something, and I'll wear that. And
what are you?
I just goofy is all. I don't have to be this thing where you have to dress in a costume that's a riddle that people have to figure out. Every year, I'm like, I know what you are. You're the thing I'm going to punch.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Is anyone living a better life than Dave Grohl?
I don't think so. He is, he's our generation's Jesus.
Okay. Well, he's older than 33, so I'm not sure that he's our generation's Jesus.
Yeah, he would have had
his best friends have not ganged up to have him killed yet.
Okay.
So that would actually mean that Tupac is our generation's Jesus.
Hey man, I'll take that.
Okay. So the thing is that I talked about it before, I think, even in here, too. I 100% appreciate Dave Grohl, who he is, what he does. His music does not exactly, the Foo Fighters do not exactly sing with me. Does that make sense? Like, I don't get excited for the music, but I absolutely recognize the amount of
number one
hits they have, mm-hmm. how consistently their music always charts well and always does well. Like, you know, we have things here at the radio station. We'll have groups together. We play songs for those groups to help sometimes
select. Do you like this?
Right.
Enjoy your free pizza.
And Foo Fighters always at the top of that list, right?
And they put on a hell of a live show. I mean, there's so much energy.
And like I said, you know, I think it's weird sometimes people go, oh, those guys suck. And I'm like, really? They suck or they're not for you? There's a difference, right? Yeah. And Dave Grohl clearly does not suck. There's no way you could judge him as sucking. Like, everything he does kind of touches.
It's amazing.
It's just that the songs themselves don't super excite me. That said, he now has another number one that feather he can put in his hat. He has a memoir called Storyteller. And do you know what a memoir is?
A book about yourself.
Okay.
Your notes you write throughout the years.
I just was hoping you could explain to me what a book is. What is that?
Reading them thing?
The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music, debuted at number one.
Damn.
Didn't even come out and then climb up the charts. Just debuted at number one.
That makes me feel good because there's so much talk about how rock music is dead.
Right.
There's no more of it. People don't care. It's over. And clearly, Dave Grohl's book, a book hitting number one, means one, our listeners can actually read, and two, that there's still a lot of passion about rock alternative music.
Yeah. Well, I think people just really like Dave Grohl because
he's such a cool guy.
Whenever you see interviews with him, he seems positive. He seems happy. He's never really essing on stuff. And he says stuff like, yeah, I like the Bee Gees. So he puts out a Bee Gees cover.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I liked it. And so he's not really worried what other people think of him anymore. And all the stuff he's done as a second and third act all come after being on and playing on kind of like an album that completely changed music.
Yeah.
Nirvana's Nevermind. And the other weird recovery is it's come out since then that Kurt and Chris Novoselic wanted to get rid of Dave Grohl. They basically thought he wasn't really, I don't know, wasn't
their
right
type
for the band.
Of grunge, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't their type of grunge. And they kind of were on the fence about him. Like, yeah, he's kind of the extra member of the band.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's so bizarre because now he's just a superstar.
Right.
And he's got a sense of humor. I love that in over the course of years, he's done kind of that Bill Murray thing where he'll just show up as himself and hang out with people at bars. Go to people's weddings randomly. He also has had a 10-year-plus history of trolling the Westboro Baptist Church because they'll protest Foo Fighters shows, and so they'll set up mini concerts. The recent one they did in Kansas City, I think, they got in the back of a flatbed truck and played their disco album while circling the protesters. there was a viral photo of a kid that snuck in backstage at a festival and got drunk and passed out, and then Dave Grohl did a selfie with this kid, and he never realized it because he snuck in because he loves the Foo Fighters.
Right.
And then he's just passed out, and it's just their photo. So he's a fun personality also. He's not.
So should his next book be like a self-help book where he just kind of teaches the rest of us dudes how to live life? Because he seems to be doing a pretty good job of it. Hi, I'm a rock star. I have made some pretty awesome rock documentaries about music. I've interviewed really interesting. I've played with some amazingly interesting people.
Uh-huh.
I've taken people like young drummer girls and put them up on stage.
Yayo Sanchez, here in Austin, Kiss guy brought him on stage.
And it's like, is there a point when you look at him and just go, oh, he's, instead of us sitting on Facebook and fighting with one another about how right we are, how wrong we are, whatever, is that the guy we should be electing to president?
I mean, I have a thing against celebrities or cult of personality people running for office, but if it's Dave Grohl, I'm all for it.
Just seems like it could be kind of fun, but we need a little more like music and rock attitude back in Washington.
I think so.
You know, remember how Jimmy Carter was a big rock guy.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Well, the Libs finally won. America is changing the flag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, America is going to change the flag. And a story that was put on Fox News a couple of times. Screenshots of that have gone viral. As you can see here, Matt, these are some of the concepts for redesigning the American flag, and people are understandably pissed.
Why do I have a feeling, since Fox is one of those news, that all the cable news stations really like to get their fans up in arms. There's always some kind of a little bit of a twist with the story. Why do I feel like maybe the flag isn't really being changed, and maybe, just maybe, this is one of those things that they've done to upset our grandparents?
No, I don't think there is any kind of twist here. I think people are genuinely upset. I'm going to read a few of the comments. Change the flag and I leave this country.
Is that all we got to do?
Yeah, I guess so. Another person says, no effing way. Who in the hell thinks they have the right to change the flag? Get out of America if you don't love our flag. Do not change it. Wait, so you got to get out if it is changed, or get out if it's not. I just
would like to point out that the flag has been changed.
Several times
over the years. Probably, what, 24 times?
Well, Ron on Facebook says, them people can't even hear a gunshot without pissing themselves. Leave it up to people that know what our USA is. If not, leave or keep your peace, because I got my peace.
Yes. Zero punctuation, I'm going to guess on that.
Don't
one.
Understand
what
any
is
of
the
that.
Story, actually.
So Fox News has done a couple of different stories about this. It first came out on Fox and Friends, where they were upset about these different renderings that artists have made of changing the flag.
Yeah, but where is this being presented? It's like BuzzFeed or something that has no power to actually change the flag?
It actually came from the New York Times.
Still has no power to change the flag.
No power to change the flag. What New York Times did, in what we like to call an opinion piece, was ask graphic designers, if they were to change the flag today, what would they change it to?
So basically an art experiment.
An art experiment that also later on turned into a contest. Not through the New York Times, but so those two things have now morphed into grandma and grandpa being manipulated and thinking libs want to change the flag.
It's not bad. It's a good angle.
Fox News knows what they're doing.
And I are both in media, and we both know that a lot of times it's all about the clicks, right?
You
and so this is not a bad idea to get people clicking and commenting.
Oh, it definitely got them clicking and commenting. Fox News was very clever in choosing which designs. They chose the absolute worst.
Right.
Not all of them were that much off, and some people were like, I like this, and I like this,
like,
here's
they
why.
They didn't show the one that has an eagle with a mullet, right? Because
they realized
that one would be awesome.
Way too popular.
By the way, I saw a guy yesterday in a shirt with an eagle with a mullet, and it was really hard not to steal a shirt off of him. It was pretty awesome.
Was it our friend comedian Sawyer Stahl?
No, but it would have been awesome, too.
I absolutely love this, and I'm also jealous because, I don't know if you know this, but I write a bit of clickbait myself.
I know you do.
And for years, people used to get angry because around the 4th of July, every time I would reintroduce the topic of what should we change the national anthem to?
Right.
And people would fight and get angry over it. But look, redesigning the flag's the one that actually took off on Fox News. So I'm a little pissed, a little jealous, but maybe next week we'll revisit the national anthem.
Why don't you and I will create a fake account, and then let's say that there's a new division of the U.S. government that's being used to come up with a new name for America.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Well, there is more on the old Dave Chappelle front.
The story that never ends.
Has
he been officially canceled, exported, kicked out?
Walkout planned. In fact, a bunch of staff. Some folks who are trans at Netflix say they're going to walk out of the special, and now they're saying 1,000 employees. I don't know if that number is correct, but they're saying up to 1,000 employees are planning on walking out of Netflix.
That's,
I guess,
a lot of
offices.
People.
I don't know exactly where their offices are or what offices we're talking about. But they say that they want to walk out over The Closer, which is Chappelle's
latest series, or latest stand-up special on Netflix. There's been a lot of brewing about it on social media. People very angry at him. People very much going in the defense of Dave Chappelle. I watched it with my fiance, and it was, it surely wasn't as funny as thing I've ever seen. I just try not to have too much an opinion on it, but it does make me think, like, if something happened here at the radio station, what would it take for me to leave my job? Because I feel like I kind of like getting paid.
Yeah.
It would have to be something pretty egregious to leave my job, but then there have been times where I've almost quit because the vending machine got my chip stuck in it. And I was like, that's it. I'm out. I haven't quit this. Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, if 1,000 people are walking out, what would happen in a building that didn't happen to you? But would you walk out here in the building if something happened to another employee?
In support of coworkers, I think I would. I wouldn't want to be a scab. Really? I mean, that's the last thing I'd want to do.
What would it be that you would want? I mean, if somebody else got their chip stuck in the machine, would you walk out for that?
No, I would be like, I'm with you, brother, and then just show them how to rock the machine to get them back out. I've learned that very well. By the way, if you ever get anything stuck in that vending machine, I will come help you. Just don't let our engineer, Chuck or Brian, see me doing it.
I mean, I a huge conspiracy theorist? Is there as much uproar in the nation about the special, or
is it manufactured?
Are we manufacturing this because it is keeping the special at the forefront of the conversation amongst us all?
Could be both. I mean,
have I just become a big jaded a-hole at this point?
Yeah, I mean, definitely that. But there's also, what was the saying? Any press is good press, bad press is good press kind of thing.
There was the young woman who was suspended at work because she had written some stuff. She's actually at Netflix, and she's actually been reinstated, she says. I guess a lot of it really comes down to Chappelle asserting, and it's this phrase, it's a four-word phrase, gender is a fact. And I wonder if this isn't one of those teaching things where, because if he had said sex is a fact, I don't know that you'd have the same arguments, but gender and sex are two different things, but most people on a day-to-day layperson's kind of confuse those two back and forth, right?
I would agree with that. And I think, going back to Jurassic Park, we can see you can literally, life will find a way.
Thank you. Thank you for going all the way back. Do-do-do-do. Well, it's interesting. I mean, that's why, and I don't want to be all negative. There's a little part of me. The walkout's supposed to happen on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. And they're claiming that 1,000, they already have 1,000 people signed up. Would you walk out on something that you didn't even completely support just to get a day off of work?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Duh.
Really?
I mean, I told you I've thought about calling in with COVID just to take a week off, man.
Just to split for the day or two.
Just be like, all right, I'm out. No, never mind. I didn't have COVID. I'm cool. But hell yeah, I would.
Anyway, it is kind of odd that anytime somebody in this building has been like, yeah, I have COVID, none of us have seen their test results or anything. They just get like 10 days out of the office.
Yeah, that's great.
And they're like, yeah, I felt fine. I'm like, you look at their Instagram account and they're having tacos somewhere and sitting by the pool. And I'm like, I don't think you have COVID. We will loop back into this on Wednesday to see if there is the big walkout. You want to put money on it?
I got five on it.
I got five on it. Nah, we'll see. We'll see.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Beloved restaurant Hooters has finally discovered dead ass.
Really?
Yeah, but a lot of the servers there are not so happy about it. Apparently, Hooters recently has changed their uniform to not just include the classic white, low-cut, breast-exposing shirt, but now some shorts that are more like bikini bottoms than actual shorts.
Okay, let's be clear. The Hooters uniform has never had anything to do with a white, low-cut, breast-revealing shirt. It's always been about those pantyhose.
Yeah. Dude.
That's a weird hanger-on from the 80s.
Yeah,
it's like, who wears pantyhose?
Anymore?
Like,
absolutely.
Pantyhose, scrunch socks, and then like those Reebok high top. Like, it's a weird anachronism. Like, really? Did we time travel here?
The only thing they need are shoulder pads on those shirts. Yeah, but
so
yeah.
do you have pictures of the new? Because I feel like I haven't been to a Hoots in a while.
Since we used to have remotes there for the radio station.
Well, that was pretty one much... thing. Also, my wife, really huge Hoots fan.
It's not a bad place. I mean, I like the buffalo chicken sandwich was always my go-to.
My wife really liked their wings. Also, she really liked at the Hoots down there on Riverside.
Oh, yeah,
they would
rest
do this
in
thing
peace.
Where they would salt your napkin when they put your beer glass down so that your beer glass didn't stick to the napkin.
Yeah.
And then they put that little bag of ice in your pitcher to keep it cold and... the Hootress would come over and keep refilling your beer a lot. And so my wife was like, I love a place where I don't even have to refill my own beer out of the pitcher.
It's good customer
and
service.
They, like, she thought it was the bomb. I have a picture of my son when he's like 2 weeks old.
I was about to bring that up with the server holding your son. And it's so funny. Your wife also loves just kind of tacky stuff in a way. And I'm not saying Hooters is tacky, but... It's a little tacky.
My wife grew up in public housing. Okay. So there's, she's the, what is it? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah.
Also, the government cheese hound doesn't fall too far from the Section 8 complex. So.
My favorite part about visiting Hooters, the downtown one, Riverside now gone. It's a condo. I think there's still one up in Round Rock. But my favorite part was I was single for a lot of my days in radio. And I think the servers just kind of liked me because, like, they wouldn't just take my order, but they would sit down at the table with me and kind of, like, talk
sure.
hang out.
Yeah, when you walk in, they probably realize, too, you're going to rack up kind of a bill.
that's very true.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I love that you're like, I think they really, it was a little different for me. I think they genuinely liked me because they would talk to me and they were real polite and flirty with me.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But a lot of the servers are going on TikTok and quitting their jobs right now because they're very upset about the pants. Well, let's scroll through this article.
Or is it three?
Let's scroll through the article account. Okay. Here's
one. Wait, did she quit?
Yes.
She looks good in those shorts.
Two.
Three.
Four. Okay.
Can I say something to the audience?
So there's an...
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that there's a little screen that comes up on some of these websites after you've watched a video. And I just would like to let you know that I just looked at four of the screens where someone had clearly watched the video. So I would just like to say, CJ Morgan, so you watched all these girls in their skimpy outfits, but you didn't even show... Like, I didn't get to see any of it.
I had to do research.
Is that what that was?
You keep on my ass about just kind of reading the headline of an article and then bringing it on, and you're like, well, tell me more about what happened in the Big Bang. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't read it, dude. So I did my research here.
So
I watched
yesterday,
all these videos.
The news came out that the Big Bang, that science may have discovered a beginning even before the Big Bang, which completely changes everything we know about the universe.
A little bit.
You didn't read that.
No.
But today, we got a story about... girls' booties, and you did mucho research.
Yes. In fact, I might need to go do some in the bathroom right now. 101X, Matt and CJ. The off-air conversation's great.
First of all, you missed a break, okay?
Yeah.
You get chastised a little bit for that. You missed it. We don't get enough time as it is to talk, and then you went and missed a break.
We were supposed to talk in the middle of all this. I was
How
just
many
chatting.
Snakes is too many snakes in your house? Quick question for the group.
I will say one.
One, okay. Yeah. I said in your house, and that's dumb. That's not what I meant. I just
around
meant,
your house.
Around your, you know, I told you that we had that one story about a rattlesnake, and then I said that I had this weird thing where there were three rattlesnakes around in my family property, and I'd never seen any out there.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is something going on with the rattlesnakes?
But there are good snakes that eat mice, they eat bugs, they keep
rodents out of your house. I'm only talking about rattlesnakes right now.
Okay.
I'm only talking about rattlesnakes.
Okay.
Snake. I'm going to take you out to Sonoma, California.
Okay.
Hey, guys, get in my car. We're going to Sonoma, California. We know there'll probably be more, a Sonoma County Reptile Rescue official said. Adding the number of snakes living in the foundation was likely because it was in such a rocky area. More than 90 rattlesnakes were found under one California home, according to a reptile rescue group. I got a call from somebody who said that they had a snake under their house. 3 hours and 45 minutes later, this is what I came out with. And he shows a picture of 45 snakes, but he had to go back and get more. A final count, 22 adults, 59 babies. Total was 92 rattlesnakes under one house.
Yeah, no thanks. This is some Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's immediately what I thought of was Raiders of the Lost Ark when he falls into that pit of snakes.
And he hates snakes, yeah. No thank you.
That's a lot of rattlesnakes.
That's a lot. I didn't know, I mean, I don't read anything, but I didn't know snakes were colonizers.
You read that entire article? Sorry, I talked all over you. Go ahead.
I said, I didn't know snakes lived in colonies. I thought they were very, not individualistic, but like family-oriented kind of creatures.
Family, so not in like a big group of 90-some-odd, but you figured it was like four?
Yeah.
Two adults and two children snakes?
A very nuclear family is how I modeled the snake.
Just two regular-sized snakes and two small snakes wandering through the village.
I realize now how stupid what I just said
was. Oh, yeah, it sounds really stupid, dude. It sounded immensely stupid.
Point being,
how do you know which one is the dad? How do you carry a briefcase with no hands?
Yeah, well, because he's got that big old snake dong. How else? They don't wear clothes.
You ever seen a snake dong?
No, but I got a snake in my pants, man.
Oh, come on, dude. Grow up.
Okay, that's a lot of snakes.
It's a ton.
And the reason I think you brought this in here was also just because it's bizarre that you and I have lived in the hill country for a long time. But we both come from places where rattlesnakes, you see them regularly, but now we are seeing them more and more around the hill country.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
I saw a couple when I used to live down in the valley in the area called Salt Flats, and sometimes you'd go out to a ranch or something out there, you'd see them. I lived in southwest Louisiana for a long time. Lots of cottonmouths, lots of copperheads.
Especially
saw the two of them on a near daily basis. I lived out in the woods, and as a kid, BMXing through the woods and all that, I would see copperheads, cottonmouths almost every day. And you get kind of used to them, and they're not aggressive snakes. They're not coming for you.
But if they do bite, like same as a coral snake, if it bites you, the poison's pretty bad. Whereas rattlesnakes are very aggressive, and we used to see them all the time as a kid because I grew up kind of outside of Amarillo. Around creeks and hills, and there was this entire excavation pit that they would use for construction and stuff.
Yeah.
So we would just go hike everywhere, and if you found a big piece of plywood, you would pick that up, or a big cinder block, because that was about to be part of your fort.
Okay.
So we were picking that stuff up all the time, and you would find like little families of rattlesnakes.
Hiking
at Paladero Canyon, there were always snakes.
So that was like the rattlesnakes is sort of like Round Rock. Family community is out there.
Yeah.
Whereas
good place to live.
This is more like the rattlesnake rainy. There's high rises and everyone's living on top of each other.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Still live this image of a mom and dad.
Nuclear snake family just hissing together, hanging out.
Driving a car with their tail.
Mm-hmm. This is a Richard Scarry book, but with sweet snakes.
Did you just drop a Richard Scarry reference in the middle of this? Like, I know you're talking about, but do you think the average listener knows what it was? Spenny, do you know what a Richard Scarry book
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely. I've read those books.
Did we just age ourselves a little bit?
No, my kids have Richard Scarry stuff. They have a gigantic book that's the size of like a kid, and it's the guy that drew the little pigs and stuff. There was a pig, I think, that flew a helicopter.
Yeah, there was.
And there was a snake. There's a worm that drives an apple.
Lowly the worm that drives the apple. That's what I was thinking of with this. And God, we're getting so far off topic. But Taco Bell. Speaking of Talktober, Taco Bell.
How do we go from snakes to tacos? shows.
It
you
has.
Can wish for a hole. We have meetings all the time about stay on target. Stay. We've gone from snakes to Richard Scarry to Taco Bell.
Here's how and why. Because once upon a time, they did Richard Scarry minifigures at Taco Bell as part of their kids' meal. Yeah. And you could put them on your fingers, and they were like little play toys and stuff like that.
That's the worst idea Taco Bell's ever come up with since they said you're not allowed to sleep here, sir.
They got sued for it because kids were, one, choking on the toys, and two, the rubber plastic mix they used to make those were apparently like very toxic. So those toys went away
pretty quick. The same thing that they make the tacos out of?
Yeah.
These kids are eating these toys and getting terrible diarrhea.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Earlier in the week, I mentioned that one of my favorites, one of the longest-running, weirdest all-time comedy shows, South Park, have done a bracket of their absolutely best episodes. It's just finished. And so myself, you, Matt, and our producer, Spinny, we're all going to watch these four episodes.
That's right.
And so right now we can kind of talk and debate how the bracket finished, which it just wrapped up today.
Awesome. Love it.
Okay. So I'm going to quickly read the episodes. Make Love Not Warcraft versus Butters Bottom Bitch. And then on the other side of the bracket, we have Scott Tenorman Must Die and Medicinal Fried Chicken. Let's start with the other side of the bracket. Make Love Not Warcraft. Matt, what was your take on that one?
I think it was a really good one.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it was. It's the first one they kind of used that type of animation and went into a game, but like, what did you like about it?
I liked the way it was the first one that kind of made that kind of animation stuff, like you said.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot more to that, but what about Butters Bottom Bitch?
I love the alliteration and the use of the B.
Yes, but what did you think about his kissing company?
Well, that's one of my favorite parts of it, was the kissing company.
Okay, not when he went to the pimp college?
Love the pimp college, too.
And how he would always... Butters would say, "Do you know what I am saying?"
Yeah, that was good. That part was good.
Did you?
I forgot to watch him.
Dude, you had
I forgot to watch.
Oh, God damn it, man.
I forgot to watch him. So I mean,
you had a week. We started this on Monday. It's now Friday. It was 4 22-minute episodes.
Is there anything more South Park than putting off something and then not getting it done? I mean, I feel like South Park fans will appreciate me not getting to the assignment. I feel like if you're out there listening right now and you're someone who loves South Park, you've got to be like, yeah, dude, all you had to do was watch those and you didn't, and that's pretty awesome of you.
Well, but now this whole bit is stalled because we're going to debate all these episodes. Spinny, you're a South
that's
Park
why I'm
fan.
That's right? Why I'm here. Yeah.
Spinny, you've seen all these, right?
Yeah.
What the problem is?
All right. Well, let's start with this side, Spinny. Make Love Not Warcraft is where they take on.
Yeah, the kids join World of Warcraft.
Butters Bottom Bitch is where he starts a kissing class. Where
that's a good one.
He basically
pimp college. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kiss. Yeah.
Kissing thing.
Kissing business.
Accidentally. Yeah.
Don't forget the alliteration.
Accidentally becomes a pimp and Medicinal Fried Chicken. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm. That's the one where they got the KFCs right, but they turn them into like weed joints.
So good, dude.
And then,
so good.
They open up legal marijuana in Colorado for the first time, and Randy bounces around on his balls. And then you have Scott Tenorman Must Die.
Classic.
Classic.
Classic. One of the older episodes, I'd say.
From way back.
Oh, yeah.
We've now... Man, shut up, Matt. You didn't even watch.
Assignment. You think that snakes live in a family, in a nuclear family.
I spent during that entire commercial break and song trying to Google how snakes live.
I know.
Answers.
You were so bad. You wanted to show me on a screen. Look. See, they do live in a family with a
phylum,
a snake wearing a necktie or something.
What if it's a non-traditional family and they got like tattoos and stuff like you?
They have the result of this.
Go on. I'm just being a jerk.
Make Love Not Warcraft ended up against Scott Tenorman Must Die in the final. Two incredible episodes.
I can agree.
And I'm kind of pissed Because what? The most iconic episode did not win. The winner of this one, the South Park. I mean, look, there's, what, 64 different episodes here that they narrowed
like
down.
Cool if it was 69, right, guys?
Yes.
Fans went through this. They voted, and the winner is...
Drum roll, please. You still... Yep. Why won't you load a timpani drum roll into the sound effect machine?
Spencer.
You need me to do that? Someone tell me to do it.
The winning episode is Make Love, Not Warcraft.
Is it?
And I'm pissed about that. Let me tell you why. Scott Tinnerman Must Die is the quintessential episode of South Park. First of all...
It's so good. It's a throwback. It's from, you know, earlier in the series. Love that part
okay,
about
what
it.
Else
Scott
Tinnerman.
Scott Tinnerman is so good. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, to recap the episode, Scott Tinnerman is an older kid who tricked Cartman into buying pubes from him.
And got him good.
Cartman kept coming back and trying to basically outmaneuver Scott Tinnerman, which never happened. He tried to get Dankin's pony to bite Scott Tinnerman's wiener off. Didn't happen. You even had a guest appearance from Radiohead, actual Radiohead. Had showed up in this episode, but at the end...
Does Radiohead get made fun of in the episode?
No, they kind of make fun of themselves, though.
Oh, okay.
But in the very end, after seeing Cartman beat again and again and again and again, he creates a chili contest where Scott Tinnerman gets all the boys to donate their pubes for the chili for Cartman to eat, and he eats it, and he says it's good. And then they all laugh, and he says, well, actually, I switched. This was chef's chili, which I did not expect to be so good. How about yours? And what happened is Cartman killed Scott Tinnerman's parents, fed him to him, and that's where the entire series turned from being kind of light, weird, obscure stuff to dark.
That's why they established Cartman as potentially evil.
That's where Cartman became the quintessential character for that show. So I'm pissed it didn't win. This has been South Park Talk. Thanks a lot for not watching any of this and failing in the assignment.
I didn't fail. Look, hey, did you enjoy talking about this just now?
I guess. Did people enjoy hearing me talk about it?
No, but they enjoyed hearing me talk about it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
On today's installment of Be Careful What You Ask For, I feel like we do a lot of these stories where...
Yeah.
I have plans this evening, and my daughter has asked... She thinks that she's really into horror.
Yeah, recently in the last year, she's gone to wearing all black.
Yeah.
Black fingernail polish, all that sort of stuff. Goth light, maybe?
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Not really sure what the style is.
Sure, and there's some other new style. It's called, like, something like heavy academia or something. I don't know. My sister, my daughter's allowed to kind of, I give her a lot of rope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of free rein because I'm not going to sit around micromanaging her life and overcorrect.
Being a helicopter parent, because that's just going to make her more messed up.
Not
that she is messed up.
She's pretty messed up.
Okay.
Think about who she is as her parents. But she said, I really want to go to a haunted house.
Okay.
So, and I don't like the haunted houses. They don't scare me. It's actually the opposite is my problem. I find them kind of a little bit boring.
It's corny.
A little corny. Also, it tends to be drunk high school kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, I can't be around
here. Or some of our improv coworkers that are the behind the mask.
So my wife loves haunted houses. And for years now, she and a friend and I we've all gone together every year. And so my daughter was like, this year, she was like, I really, really want to go. And my wife said, hey, you know, she wants to go. What do you think? And I was like, I don't care. I mean, I've seen even younger kids there. I just, I'm not going to pay for another ticket. I won't pay for another ticket.
And like you, didn't you mention a couple weeks ago that your wife likes to do the advance tickets so you can cut the line?
No.
So it's a little
Make her pay for the advance tickets.
Okay.
My wife likes to go hang out. She would just sit in the line where it takes like an hour to get in there. Because for her, it's part of the fun. Also, where we go is this place right over here by the station. And they've got, they sell beer down on the lawn there or whatever. And you can sit in the line, drink a beer, hang out. Like, she wants to make a whole night of it.
Yeah.
I am the not fun dad.
You want to get in and out of that as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so there's three tiers. There's super bougie, and then half bougie, and then gen pop.
Okay.
And we only buy the half bougie. I'm not paying for the super bougie. Like, you don't have any line. Like, you just walk up and skip the line or whatever. It's the Elon Musk ticket, and I'm not paying for that. And so my daughter said, she said, you know, I really, really want to go. Really want to go. So we've been waiting all week. Usually I make my wife go on like a Wednesday because I'm like, I'm not waiting in a weekend line.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think of that. It's Friday night.
Yeah.
At least it's not the weekend of Halloween.
No, it's just the first night that the temperature is dropping down to like 50 degrees and
everyone's
excited.
Everyone can go out and have fun.
And so I'm dropping my daughter off at school this morning. And she opens the door and she starts to grab her bags out of the truck and she looks up at me and she goes, I don't know if I want to go to the haunted house. I go, what do you mean you don't know if you? And she goes, I couldn't sleep last night. I'm really
sick. She was,
and I'm like, look,
she was anticipating it.
But we've already got everything worked out. We've got someone to watch the little kid. And I was like, honey, I told you before we bought these tickets. And so now I'm having to tell her, well, it's not scary. And she goes, well, you said that people walk around the lines and they're like just carrying axes and stuff. And I had to say to her, that doesn't happen. I was trying to scare you, except it really happens.
It literally does happen.
But I got to get her there. And then when she gets there, maybe I can get her to chill out. Anyway, I know for a fact. You know, at these haunted houses, they have these like emergency exits where if you really, really freak out, they just like kick you out the side door and everybody makes fun of you. I know I'm gonna get booted.
You're
out
gonna
the
be
side
that
door
guy.
And because I'm just gonna like, oh, shoot, just like, well, is this gonna happen? And I was like, oh man, what kind of kid have I raised? I was like, you get in there and you get scared just like your old man. You hear me?
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So earlier in the week, we were talking about Halloween candy, Matt. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Talking about some of our favorites, the top ones in Texas. And we brought up Skittles at one point, and you boldly claimed that you can identify a Skittle by taste.
Correct.
Which I think is absolute BS.
Why is that?
Because it's just BS. There's no way you can.
All right.
So I brought in a bag of original Skittles.
Okay.
Make it simple. The flavors are green apple, strawberry.
So this is not original. This is the remake because the original was lime. Then they switched to green apple. It's now back to lime, but you have an older bag, I guess.
I'm sorry that the gas stations off Runberg by the radio station don't necessarily have Skittles that are up to your taste.
No, but they do have Smack.
They do. So green apple, grape, strawberry, orange, and lemon.
Okay. I'm currently blindfolded.
You're blindfolded. We should go through this and just see how many you can get correct versus how many you get incorrect.
Because I know if you're in your car, you don't believe I'm blindfolded, but Spenny's in here actually.
Yeah, we're videotaping this on our Facebook at Just Matt and CJ. You ready?
Yeah. You're going to put them out in front of me, right?
Okay, do you feel the napkin?
Yeah.
I'm going to pour one out in the napkin.
Okay.
And you're going to grab it. Okay. Oh, that was two. Okay,
that's
there
fine.
We go. There
I got
we go.
This one. This is the one that I'm going to. Spenny, are you over here? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is the one I'm going to taste first.
Okay.
Very clear. Here
and
we go.
I want you to give me a ding or an eh if I get it right or wrong.
I got it.
Okay.
All right. It's a good taste. Long chew.
That was an orange one.
Oh! One wrong already.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I should have done is tasted all of them first, so, and then I could have gone back and gotten it right.
So your palate was at least cleansed. All right, your next.
Oh, that was yellow.
Yeah, that was yellow. Take your time. I mean, I want to do this.
No, I just got it. I just got it. A big yellow taste.
Big yellow taste. Your next one is on the napkin. If you fought. There we go. There we go.
This is it. Yep. Next one.
That is it. That is our next one.
Okay. Mmm. Mmm.
And for those of you listening and watching on Facebook Live, this is a share size, a family size Skittles bag, and we're going to do this entire bag. This bit should go on for the next 3 hours. What do you think, Matt? What color? What flavor?
That was red.
Correct. All right. I'm liking this. I feel like you are actually able to kind of tell. Next one is on the napkin.
Here we go.
So you're one for one, even though technically at the very end you got the last one. Trying another Skittle.
Whoa! That's big time green.
Oh, Matt!
Not even close.
No, it's purple.
No!
That's purple.
Why? Yeah, you.
That's purple.
You shoot your shot too quickly.
I guess I, well, yeah.
You talk to girls that date?
All right, let's do another one.
Well, I'm trying to, like, hurry the bit along because we're in radio.
Yeah, but it just
And then I'll get this second wave, and I'm like, oh, well.
Just be calm because realize that the boss is out of town and on vacation, so we can kind of talk a little more. What is it? Delicious?
Well, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Where I'm having a little difficulty.
Okay.
Is I didn't know we were doing this right now.
Yeah, you did not.
So I just ate an entire bag of spicy pork rinds.
You did. You got those out of the vending machine. Yeah. So now you're, excuses.
Well, everything tastes a little bit like spicy pork rinds mixed with another chemical flavor. I'm going to go green on that, but I'm not sure.
Man, that was the only one you've correctly identified so far. That was red. Should we do this again next week? Like, I feel bad. I feel like I ambushed you with something.
Uh-uh.
Because you are failing at this hard. And you are so confident. Like, I can do it every time. I can, yeah, every time.
I can. I think what I should have done is tried one of each one of them, seen them. I would have memorized the flavors, and then I'll let you know.
Well, that's not what you said last week. You were like, I can easily do this. I can eat any Skittle. I know it.
Yeah, give me another one.
Well, what is that one?
That was good is what that was.
Okay, here's your next one.
Okay. There we go. You got
okay.
it?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Matt is eating the Skittle. I think your nose is covered by the bandana, too. That might kind of hinder your okay. taste. Okay, what is it?
That's a flavor I haven't had yet.
I threw you for a curveball, and you got one of my tropical Skittles, a blue. So that
you
was
rat
good.
Bastard.
All right.
You
this,
rat bastard.
This is the final one to see if Matt is as bold as he claims. Hold on. I'm going to eat that one. Oh, there you go. You got it. No. You got the right one. Yeah. I dumped out two. Find your Skittle.
What did you do? Where did this go? Okay, first of all, I just realized I'm blindfolded, and you're handing me things to put in my mouth.
Spencer is videotaping this, so that one was not in my craw.
Mmm. Tastes bright.
Okay.
Citrusy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You got this. Come on.
Orange.
Yay! I mean, honestly, you still lose. You were two out of three with one you didn't declare, but, you know, maybe we'll try this again next week. Coming up, more stuff. Specifically.
Wow. That's your pitch?
Yeah.
Coming up, things.
Concert tickets to give away. At least that.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Is barbecue just for rich people?
No, not at all. I would say if you are a connoisseur of smoking meat and you like to find it from a good place, it can be very expensive, but every wedding I've gone to back in Amarillo is basically just a barbecue buffet. Very affordable, I would say. Big-ass brisket, bunch of sausage. No, it's not for rich people.
Okay. Well, I think that's the way we think about it. Because barbecue, technically, slow smoking was to break down these cuts of meat, and a lot of restaurants use it as their left. You know, when they had leftovers, they would smoke it, create barbecue, and it started out as being food for poorer people.
Yeah.
Currently, the prices in just the last 15 years have almost quadrupled.
Oof.
There's this huge run in Central Texas. Of, you know, barbecue's the thing now. It's a thing to do.
Yeah.
People waiting in lines, people going. And it's made a run on what used to be cheaper cuts of meat. The brisket was, you know, not very expensive. And
yeah, I remember.
$3, $3.50 a pound. Now brisket's running way over that. And then you got to put in labor and cost and time and all that.
You can't even find like a good skirt steak at HEB. You have to go to a meat market and hope that they happen to have the good cut of that.
Well, they're saying now that the average ticket, if you go to get barbecue with a couple people, for two people is around $93.
No. barbecue is, you have that little cardboard paper. You have a pickle.
The last time I went to
white bread.
The last time I went to go get barbecue, I think it was $80-some-odd I took my family. We went to a really nice barbecue place.
That's insane.
It was incredible. Some of the best barbecue I've ever had in my entire life, but it was expensive.
I can't believe that.
I'm reading here about Snow's. You know about Snow's out in Lexington.
Drove to Snow's 1 year, got there really early, got to try everything. Still affordable. I didn't spend that much money. This is probably back in 2013.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When Snow's first started, a pound of brisket was a little over $7. It's now $28 for a pound of brisket. And most of that is just actual costs. It's not like they're raking it. It's not like barbecue joints are raking it in and everyone's getting super rich. So the cost of meats have gone up. The cost of product has gone up across the board.
Is it a supply chain issue or is this just a demand issue?
I think it's a little maybe of both. I mean, the good pit masters are able to get in there early and start buying up all the good briskets.
Yeah.
That started to create a big hike in prices. And then... there just is. Yeah, there's a big demand there. And then there's also, because of the demand, I think most people don't even understand how much barbecue costs. So they just walk up there and they're just like, okay, I'll take whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's creeping up there. And I feel like this is just another thing in Austin that we're all getting priced out of.
Pretty much. Because anytime someone visits for Austin, like we've had a lot of, guests we've interviewed, bands, comics, people during South by Southwest. And one of the things... Two of the things I always talk about, one, breakfast tacos, two, barbecue. Where do I get barbecue in Austin? What's a good barbecue joint? Where do I go for barbecue? I'm in Texas. I have to do barbecue. And now we can't even afford it.
I always send them the Lubies.
They have a secret cut of meat. If you just say this keyword, I will say Lubies has one of my favorite things to pair with barbecue is a really good iced tea. And Luby's really good iced tea.
You know what? Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Look at us finally getting along.
Yeah.
Thanks
for bringing that to my attention. You know what? I think Luby's has really good iced tea.
Yeah. If I was going to be honest, though, I would send their ass to Lockhart. Because Lockhart has Smitty's. It has, I think there's Black's down there. Even the Chisholm Trail, which is one that everyone S's on, is really good.
I wouldn't send them to Lockhart. I'd send them right the hell back to wherever they came from.
Get out of there.
We don't need you here no more. I've been making a lot of barbecue at the house. But even then, I mean, you used to be able to go and get, big old cuts. I'm kind of surprised at how much it is just like at the HEB getting stuff. And then you spend all day. It's getting expensive.
It is. It's very expensive. It's also easy to F up because my three things are brisket. I do a really good pulled pork, which you kind of fry and sear first. And I love doing pork ribs, but the last time I had people over, this is pre-pandemic, I smoked a bunch of ribs. And I thought I was good to go because I used an electronic smoker and then tossed them on the grill at the very end just to give a little bit of char. No one was ready to eat, so I was like, oh, well, I gotta wrap these in foil keep them warm.
No.
And what happens when you cook meat in high heat?
You don't ever wait. Look.
You eat it right away because what happens...
Barbecue tells you when it's ready, and the people need to be ready for the barbecue when it's ready.
Absolutely. So what happened to my, $100+ I spent on pork ribs that I smoked all day long, brined and let sit in the refrigerator all
turned
weekend.
Turned into chicharrones?
Pretty much just beef jerky. Dude, I was so pissed.
Oh, I know. It's worst, though.
Because I spent all, the end of the week, all day Friday, and ready to have people over on Saturday, and ruined $100 worth of meat because I wrapped it in foil. And, of course, once you take meat off the grill or the smoker or whatever, it still cooks. There's still things that are happening and still things that are going on and wrapping it in foil.
Thanks for letting us know.
Made it even worse. Well, hey, I'm learning. Clearly haven't learned enough yet. Nate, too expensive.
You want some of these Skittles? They're pretty good.
Yeah.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
All right, we've got a pair of tickets to, this is going to be a nice little date weekend if you want to do it. Bat City Scaregrounds in Buda, one of the newest haunted houses to pop up. Plus, a pair of sold-out tickets to the ACL Live show with Angels and Airwaves on Halloween. But first, you got to play one of my dumb games. Caller, who's this?
My name's Sean. What's up?
Hey, dude. Welcome to the program. Here's the deal. I have three movies, and I'm going to read you a very simple description of them. One word. three times, and you're going to have to guess the movie. If you get it wrong, I hang up on you. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, your first movie, and you got to get all three right to win. Here are your descriptors. Mask. Phone. Sydney.
The Mask.
Oh, very sorry. Hey, caller, who's this?
Hey, this is Alex Gonzalez.
How well do you know your scary movies?
I think we know them pretty well, actually.
All right, I'm going to read you three one-word descriptors, and you're going to have to tell me the movie. Get three correct in a row, and you win. You get it wrong, I hang up on you, okay?
Yeah.
Mask. Phone. Sydney.
Scream. Scream.
Correct. Camp. Woo. Teens. Machete.
Camp Teens Machete. Friday the 13th?
No, so close. Was Jason Friday the 13th?
Yes, idiot.
Okay, yeah, you got it right. Never mind. Here's...
Oh, my God.
You don't even know what game you're playing.
I just wrote Jason. All right, here's your last one. And because it's Angels and Airwaves tickets, I had to make it extraterrestrial. Aliens. Crop circles. Water.
Sign?
Yes! Congratulations! You're a winner!
Yeah, baby!
I'm going to be honest. I would have given that to y'all anyways because I screwed up the last one. But I'm going to put you on hold, and Spinny's going to talk to you pretty soon. Thank you so much for calling and listening.
Thank you, guys.
Who's the show that rocks the dock?
101X.
Who are the two people on 101X that you're listening to right now and that you love?
You guys.
Who are us two guys? What are our names?
I don't know. I honestly blanked out. I'm like too stressed out. But I just know I love y'all's voices.
But you got three movies that are over 15 years old. That's okay. We still love you. Thanks for listening to these guys 101X. On 101X.
Thank y'all.
101X, Matt and CJ.
So the Prop A thing that we started talking about, that we both were like, hey, we don't know fully the background, but this is interesting because...
There's something every day about that.
Well, the firefighters came out 2 weeks ago and said they were opposed to Prop A, which is this thing that's being pushed forward by... I'll be generous and say it's lobbyists, right?
Yeah.
And but I was just like, it's unusual because you don't usually see public servants breaking with other public servants.
No.
And so I was like, you know,
with each other.
It's a little unusual to see the fire department coming out against this. Well, the other shoe has fallen. As of last night, the Austin EMS Association has come out opposed to Prop A. Now.
The triumvirate has broke.
It has. One of the big problems, and they pointed out, was, hey, it's not that we don't want there to be extra funding in the police coffers. The problem is because of new laws passed at the state level, one of the new laws states that you can't reduce funding for police, right? That's, you know, that you get fined if you,
yeah,
quote unquote, defund the police. You can't reduce your police budgets in cities anymore. That's controlled now at the state level.
Small government, Greg.
Well, an issue there is if we're getting ready to pour another $500 billion into, into, you know what I mean, or whatever, you can't go backward.
And I'm gonna be clear.
The way the law is that if we raise it, we can't just say, okay, well, it turns out that it didn't make that big of a change and we want to reduce rates now. The way the law is, we just have to keep all those people on the payroll.
Putting more money into it. And to be clear, it's not like we're anti-cop or anything like that. But I found some data that showed basically the City of Austin Police Department has a larger budget than the GDP of a lot of small nations' economies and the military budget, the defense budget of a lot of adequate nations' economies. So we spend more for our
hedging
police.
Where'd you read that on? Like a meme?
Mean, come on. You know, one of our communist friends likes to share
sounds
something like
a
that.
Meme.
No, it's we spend a lot of money. A lot of money for a city our size.
We do.
Well,
I think we have some results. I mean, we, as far as a city this size goes, we have a tremendously low crime rate.
We do, even though it's been quote-unquote, I mean, not quote-unquote, it has been going up, but it's still going up less than what it's going up over overall in the nation since the pandemic.
Oh, yes. Our crime rate across the nation has gone up. Austin has gone up smaller than the rest of the nation.
Yes.
But also, our population has almost doubled, so you would expect our crime rate to almost double over the last 20 years, and it hasn't at all.
Not even close. But that's not what the Prop A people are telling my grandma with the text messages they're sending her.
Well, look, whether it's pro Prop A or not, what do you would call that? Negative Prop A, whatever you want to talk about.
Minus A, defund the police.
There's a lot of money to be made in this election before a single vote is cast.
Yeah.
You and I are idiots. We're out here talking about Skittles and talking about barbecue costs.
When we should be lobbyists.
I feel like that's what we should do.
Yeah.
There's money there.
Yeah, there's not money in what we're doing.
It's going to be interesting to see what does happen. I certainly don't want... I thought we saw this 2 weeks ago when we said that the police should get on one side of Town Lake and the firefighters should get on the other side of Town Lake and we'd have a good old-fashioned tug-of-war.
Like the events that used to happen in Austin.
And instead of having an election, just whichever side won the tug-of-war, that's the way we would go. But now you got the EMS crew on there, and I don't know if it's really fair to get the EMS guys to join the firefighter because then the policemen may be outmanned. So maybe you have to go in the... Where do they pull from a third direction?
The Boogaloo Boys? I don't know. What else are you going to get?
I don't know. So, anyway, I am interested to see how this one continues because I feel like it's going to end up being a weird fight.
Yeah, and it's also sad because it's making national news in the worst way possible.
Oh, is it? Oh, just like that Austin doesn't have its S together and
yes,
Austin hates police. And
Austin's got crime going up, and they never in one of these stories do they... talk about our massive police budget, which is huge.
I went fishing not long ago down like Port Isabel, like down South Padre area.
Yeah.
And a boat captain I had was just like, Austin, you know, you can't even walk out of your front door anymore. People are just getting attacked left and right by the homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, not exactly. And he goes, no, it's so dangerous now. You know, people don't even go downtown. You can't even get downtown. And I was like, no, that's not true at all. There's actually, we have one of the most populated 24-hour downtowns, especially in Texas. He goes, no. That's what my friend tells me. I said, well, no, but I live there. I live in downtown Austin. I mean, I live there. And he goes,
No, that's not true, man.
He goes, I have a buddy from Houston and went and visited. And he said, people don't even leave their houses. And I said, well, I understand that your buddy told you that from Houston, but I'm telling you as somebody who lives there, it's not true. And he goes, well, I don't know. It's not what my buddy says.
Just like,
but I'm telling you, it's like an on-the-ground reporter. That's not true. You can walk out of your front door without being attacked. It happens every day that you could do that. He's like, nah, I don't know. I don't think that's not what I hear.
And to partially verify your story really quick, this summer we went up to Arkansas and my Australian friend and I were going to a pawn shop to buy fireworks because that's what you do in rural
pawn shop?
Arkansas.
Hell yeah.
One half of it was the pawn shop, which was mainly guns. The other half was fireworks.
Hey, as long as it blows up, we're happy.
Yeah, and this guy was pulling out his gun and showing us why he carries this wad of money. And he goes, so, y'all fellas are visiting. Where are y'all from? And I was like, oh, Texas.
I'm not going to say where I'm from. Right.
And my Australian buddy who lives here now, Rob, he goes, oh, Mike, we're actually from Austin. And he goes, Austin? Damn, I'm surprised y'all survived down there. Have you read what's happening? I saw Antifa take it and just went off. And I was like, oh, Rob, do not ever when traveling outside of Austin, tell people you're from Austin.
Yeah.
Just say,
Canada.
We're from
Canada.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
I never thought this would become a benchmark of the show, but Matt Bearden, you have another Hitler update for us.
Oh.
See, you got me in a quagmire yesterday, so I put you into one. But
okay.
It's not necessarily a Hitler update, but a Texas law essentially says... Okay. You explain it.
I didn't mean to shut you up.
No.
You explain.
I
want you to have to follow your own words after saying I have a Hitler apology. It sounds like you want me to apologize for Hitler, which I will not do. Yesterday we talked about South Lake Carroll and how there was a director there of some academics talking about how there are new laws on the books in Texas about how you have to teach opposing viewpoints to anything that's considered controversial.
Yes, and one
of
them...
The law is confusing, and so somebody said, you know, if you teach slavery, that slavery was bad, you have to also present some books that say that slavery was... Well, they don't say slavery is good. They just say that you have to say that the Civil War was about states' rights and not over slavery and things like that, right?
And this one was about the Holocaust, which...
Somebody said, well, what about, yes, like, the Holocaust? And they said, I'm supposed to have a different viewpoint for the Holocaust? And this woman who was recorded said, well, you'll be surprised how many times it comes up. Now, that meant that a nationwide spotlight ended up on this school district,
oh,
right?
Because no,
it was on NBC News last night. That's how we heard about it. Yeah. Because she said that you needed to teach an opposing perspective of the Holocaust. So it got out of control, and basically...
Camps? No, we've just went camping. S'mores und...
No, it's not funny.
Okay.
basically, the district said, look, we're sorry. It was probably not handled correctly. And everybody said, you think? And they said, look, this really has to do with Texas's so-called critical race theory bill. It strips out current events and America's history of racism can be taught. But they say that that doesn't really affect wars or wouldn't affect the Holocaust.
Global kind
and
of
that
things.
She
okay.
was confused and didn't really know what was happening. So they came out with an apology today. It says, no, we are not asking teachers to review them and remove books based on the legislative requirements. We'd ask teachers to inventory their classroom libraries to ensure their books in the classroom were age appropriate to the grade level they are teaching, which, I don't know, sounds weird. This discussion then led to legal requirements based on what teachers were asking. However, at no time did the district mandate that any books needed to be removed. So it's one of those things where it just keeps getting more and more uncomfortable.
Yeah, very much so.
Somebody else wrote a long apology letter. As the superintendent of schools, I express my sincere apology regarding the online article, yada, yada. And in no way did we mean to convey that the Holocaust was anything less than a terrible event in history. I'm glad that we're getting that sorted out finally.
Oh, yes. Someone had to say it.
Yeah. As we continue to work through the implementation of House Bill 3979, we also understand this bill does not require an opposing viewpoint on historical facts. As a district, we'll work to act to clarify, blah, 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 blah.
Now, speaking of clarifying something, can you clarify, didn't this superintendent basically say that she had people reach out to her who I guess might be considered Holocaust deniers that asked about this?
It wasn't the superintendent. It was another employee. And
okay.
I don't doubt that at all.
Okay, okay.
I mean, think about who. Do you not deal with the public?
Yeah. YouTube's not the public, man.
I'm just saying, like, all the years I've done stand-up, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that people will write to me after jokes and say, well, I know you're required to say that by the club, but clearly you know the truths. And they're all, you know. There are people that believe that the earth is flat.
It's not?
The guy from the guy who that documentary kind of pinned as being Q, the head of Q, the guy that created Q.
Yeah.
He just filed. He's running for office in Arizona. That kid.
And he'll probably win.
Probably.
The kid that just like punches the board, and we kind of, the term for it is weeb. Emily from our morning show taught me that.
Oh, yeah?
Someone who's very fascinated by Japanese anime culture and kind of mimics it in a way.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's, that's the world that we live in now. Everyone is, there's plenty of room for lunatics.
And they're getting into our schools.
Here's more from Jeff Matt and CJ. 101X.
A recent trend has been people posting their bills online, bitching about it. And I saw one today that went viral that kind of had me shaking my head. Matt, are you familiar with Salt Bae?
The cook, the chef, didn't you dress up like him one time in this building?
No.
You never did? You didn't do like a video where you did like some Salt Bae thing in a video?
I mean, maybe. I don't remember. I think you did.
Doesn't he does this thing with his hand like a
And flicks it on the steak.
Yeah, you did some kind of stupid video in here where you did you pretended to be Salt Bae, because I remember I was confused and I was like, what is CJ doing? Someone's like, oh, he thinks he's a chef.
So Salt Bae's back in the viral news again, and it's because this time a Londoner posted on Snapchat. Also, who still uses Snapchat if you're not a teen or cheating on your spouse? Posted on Snapchat a bill and is absolutely outraged because he got a bill that was worth, I think, £37,000.
Okay, when you say bill, you mean a check. You get a check at a restaurant.
A check, yeah.
£37,000, so it's roughly like
2,000 American?
I'm going to go, okay, sure, 43.
Something like, I don't know.
I think it's 1.16 or 1.26 right now.
Point being, he got a large bill, and he was... I read this quick BuzzFeed article, this one on My London, and he was outraged. He was shocked. Could not believe that for four people at Salt Bae's restaurant, they were charged, we just said $40,000 American dollars, essentially, £37,000.
Right. So $10,000 per person for a dinner.
Yes. Do you want to go over the bill together?
Sure.
Okay. A golden tomahawk cost $850.
Okay. That's a steak.
I've also been told by our friend Jess Pryles that people kind of snicker whenever you order a tomahawk because you're basically... Paying for a lot of bone. Yeah. Paying a lot more money for that.
It's fun to do.
We've got a couple of appetizers here.
Some herb-crusted fries, some mushrooms, some broccoli. Still looking at some pretty good prices.
Prices you would expect to see, some different baklava costing them $600 total for 20 pieces. You've got one Red Bull at $11. Okay, that's a little pricey. That's like our vending machine prices. You got some sparkling water. And then we get down to where...
No, it's the Petrus.
I'm kind of like, F you, dude. F you. A bottle of Petrus from 1996 for $9,000 and two bottles of the 2003 totaling $19,900. I'm sorry. And then after that, they got two bottles of Don Perignon Rosé from 2006, totaling $1,620. You're surprised that your bill is $40,000 when over $20,000 of it was champagne?
$30,000 of it was on wine.
Yeah. That's... What? That's ridiculous.
Well, what's really ridiculous is I once had a bottle of that Petrus. I should have just kept it and run with it. Who knew it was going to be years later? It would be worth
like
it.
That. Yeah.
I don't even know how to respond to this. It's I do like the fact that the tip is $5,000.
Yeah, the tip's but here's the BS part about that. They only charge 15%, which I feel like a tip is 20 to 25%.
Well, yeah, except in real rules, you're not supposed to have to pay any percentage on wine. You only pay a wine
that's
service
America,
uncorking
that's,
fee.
Yeah, that's in America, though, where liquor is not taxed and you don't pay that fee on that. But in Great Britain, I'm completely talking out my ass.
I know you are.
I don't know.
Well, good for them. Are they really outraged or do they want to... That's just a flex, isn't it?
It's got to be a flex. And
just to get online and say, look, I spent 40 girl last night?
That's why I don't realize why it went viral, because people on social media are talking about it like it's outrageous. It's ridiculous. Like, how dare you charge? You effing ordered it!
Yeah, I got zero sympathy.
I will say it's a little sneaky when you go to a restaurant and they have like all their menu and everything listed and there's no price next to it. That's when you know you're about to be screwed. And it's going to be good.
Would you not ask what's the price on this?
Nah, I get scared.
Get scared of what?
Yeah, that I'll look poor.
You are poor.
That's true.
Look at your face. Your face looks poor, bruh. Good week.
Yeah, had fun time with you at Just Matt and CJ.
Yeah, check us out at Just Matt and CJ. Probably see a lot of you out tomorrow morning, early, 9 a.m. for tailgate. Pre-UT-OSU game, and I'm going to be out there, and maybe you'll be out there, beautiful weather, and let's do it right.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.